Praise the Lord. Title of the message today, when was the last time your heart trembled? When was the last time your heart trembled? You know, you can read the Bible for many, many years and not see it. And then one day you see a certain word and it catches your attention, and then you find it in many places. And that's what happened with me a few weeks ago with the word trembled. When was the last time your heart trembled? And we want to ask ourselves that this morning in a personal way. When was the last time your heart trembled at the hopelessness of your sinful condition without God? The magnitude of the rescue from sin and darkness and the power of Satan, the eternal life that God has given us. When was the last time your heart trembled at the Word of God, at the precious treasure, at this indescribable gift of God's Word that is in our hands and that we have in our homes and we hide in our heart? When was the last time your heart trembled at the presence of God, knowing how empty life would be without it? That wonderful felt presence of God, that glory of God. We're not speaking simply about the omnipresence of God. We're speaking about that felt presence, that glory of God that rests on our life. It's tangible, it's alive, it's real. When was the last time your heart trembled? Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road trembled at the light that was brighter than the noonday sun, at the appearance of Jesus Christ to bring conversion to his life, the opportunity for him to accept the Lord. The Philippi jailer trembled the night the power of God shook the prison loose. The Roman governor Felix, so self-assured, the Bible says, trembled in the presence of the apostle Paul as he pressed home the claims of the gospel. In the Old Testament, we have the aged priest, old Eli, who trembled for the ark of God, trembled for the ark, lest it be taken into captivity and lost from the people of God. When is the last time your heart trembled? In Scripture, some people trembled and changed forever. Other people trembled and remained the same. When was the last time your heart trembled? Let's turn to Acts chapter 9 and look at some of the passages that deal with the trembling heart, a trembling heart before the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. And Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul by name, here he was, a persecutor of the church. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. The apostle Paul trembled at the light brighter than the noonday sun, at the visitation of the Lord. Then we have Acts chapter 16. The Philippi jailer, Paul and Silas, were in prison for the gospel. Acts 16, verse 25 says, And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and cried out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts 24, Felix, the Roman governor, Acts 24, verses 24 to 26. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, she believed in the one God, the one true God, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Felix trembled and pushed the preacher away. Felix and Drusilla, who was not yet 20 years of age, desired to have an audience and an interview with Paul the Apostle, the man who had carried the gospel across the known world, and they wanted to understand about the Christian faith. What was Paul's teaching? What was this Christianity? Here we can have a face-to-face interview with the man who carries the gospel in the forefront of the nations. And as they sat in the presence of Paul, all of a sudden the conversation took an uncomfortably personal turn, and Felix and Drusilla pushed him away. They pushed conviction away. They pushed the Spirit of God away from themselves that day. Paul was reasoning of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. Paul was reasoning of righteousness, how that man has no righteousness in himself, but that man is sinful. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul was pressing the gospel upon them, their sinfulness, their guilt before God, how they needed a Savior. He pressed the claims of temperance, which is self-control. He began to talk to them about moral law and moral purity and integrity and accountability before God, about holiness, living a holy life. And he began to contend with them concerning judgment to come, how that there will be an eternal day where every person will stand in accountability before God, and it will be the final sentencing of all men, either to heaven or to hell. And as Paul reasoned, I pray for that Spirit. I pray for that anointing. I pray that we might reason with people. Sometimes we hand out gospel light. We give the gospel in such an innocuous way that nobody's really stirred. I pray that we might have that reasoning spirit, because the Bible and the gospel is the most reasonable way of understanding in the whole earth. There is nothing more reasonable than the Word of God and the message of the gospel. And as Paul spoke, this proud Roman governor, so confident, at the top of the world in political power, no one could touch him. And he began to tremble under the words of Paul, but he and Drusilla, his wife, began to push Paul away. No, another time. And we don't ever hear that there was another time like that. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." The Lord was there. The Holy Spirit was there at Felix and Drusilla's side. He was calling them, the Son of God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He was pleading with their souls, and they pushed him away. Oh, they believed in God. Drusilla, a Jewess, of course she believed in God in heaven. Felix undoubtedly believed in God. But you know, the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 19, you believe in God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Felix, Drusilla, you believe in God? The devils believe and tremble. But there's no change. There's no repentance. It's not enough to tremble in the presence of God. We must make a change. We must believe unto everlasting life. The devils believe and tremble. Oh, they're under such powerful chains of darkness right now that they cannot rest. They are tormented, those demonic spirits, day and night, because they know the doom that awaits them. It's not enough to tremble. We must believe. We must repent. We must be changed. Say, oh, I believe in a maker. I believe in a creator. I believe in the man in the sky. I believe in God. I'd even put myself in under a Christian. Well, the devils believe. They even tremble. But it's not enough to believe in God in a general way. We have to have a personal relationship with the one he has sent, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the forgiveness of our sins, repentance, where we die to our old way of life and we rise up to walk with Jesus Christ, a new creation in the Lord. Amen. Number one today, tremble at the gospel message. Tremble at the gospel message. The hopeless condition of our sinfulness. Who we are and where we are without the forgiveness and the mercy and the love of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no goodness in any person that qualifies them before the living God. There is nothing in us that procures salvation, that procures acceptance before the living God. In our own selves, we are vile and filthy and condemned and guilty. There's only one answer, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You say, oh, man has goodness in him. Yes, man has some goodness in him, but good enough isn't God enough, as Pastor Mark says. Sure, man has some goodness in him. Charitableness and kindness, because man is eating at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's evil in man. There's good in man. But man is not eating of the tree of life. He's eating of the flesh realm. He's eating of the human realm. And that goodness will never qualify a man before the living God. There's only one answer for man, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we repent of our sins and offer ourselves to the living God. The God in heaven justifies us. He declares us righteous. He puts the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, upon our lives. Our sin has been paid for in the Son of God, and we are set free from the penalty and the power of death. John the Baptist came to a nation that was delinquent, had fallen away from the Lord. John the Baptist, the one who prepared the way of Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist came preaching, and he warned the people. He said, flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come, you sons of snakes, you generation of vipers, you serpent seed. Said, you're of your father, the devil. Outside of Jesus Christ, we are serpent seed. We are of the devil. We have that disposition. We're of the evil one, the Bible says. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the wrath to come. The Apostle Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Because the judge of the whole world will do right. The judge of the whole earth will do right when we stand before the judgment, every man and every woman. And there won't be any bribes, and there won't be any coaxing, and there won't be any sleight of hand, and there won't be any imperfect knowledge. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You think of the unregenerate man today. You think of those that don't know the Lord. The things that the sinner entertains today and the way he lives, things are not for the sinner as benign and unthreatening as they may appear or as he lets on. God is faithful. Who knows the sharp rebukes that chase up in his heart from time to time? As a moral being in this world that God is trying to reach. See, the sinner is hard at work, the Bible says, suppressing the knowledge of God. I don't want to know about God. I don't want to think about spiritual life. I don't want to think about spiritual realities. He's busy trying to deal with those fiery arrows of moral conviction that come up in his heart from time to time. pushing away the witness of the created world, the incredible creation and the universe, the sun, moon, and stars, the maker of all this. The sinner is busy pushing this away. Not all things are as they appear. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:13, I believe, that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. They can be laughing on the inside, but who knows what their conscience is speaking to them in the still of the night. So they lay their head on their pillow, and the Spirit of God is trying to reach and call to their wayward heart and bring them to Christ. Reasoning of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And how can they ever escape the foreboding torment of death? That foreboding death. What about life after I die? What is out there? They cannot escape that. The Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is calling. Old Herod, who beheaded John the Baptist, could never get rid of John's ghost and his own spirit. Take the head off the man of God. Silence his voice in the land. And yet John the Baptist's ghost walked in the conscience of Herod, because when Jesus Christ came on the scene performing great signs and wonders and miracles, he said, it must be John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. We don't know what's going on in the hearts and minds of people. We don't know the conviction. We don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing inside people, but it's not as it appears. Because every man has a conscience and every man has a call to the heavens and a witness of the Holy Spirit. Saul of Tarsus, persecutor of the church, hated Christ, hated the gospel, but when Jesus Christ appeared, he trembling fell and said, Lord, what will you have me to do? He surrendered his life. Felix trembled and pushed the preacher away. He pushed conviction away. I asked this morning, when was the last time you trembled at the implications of the gospel? Number two today, tremble at the word. Tremble at the word. Isaiah 66. Verse 1 to 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things, for all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, surrendered, humble, knowing he needs God, desperate for God, and trembles at my word. God says, this is the person I will look to. This person's going to receive my favor, my interest, my investment. The one who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Do you tremble at the word of God? You say, well, maybe the word's supposed to make me tremble and then I'll tremble. No, the Bible says that we are to tremble at the word. When's the last time you took this precious book in your hands and your hands trembled? Because the very words of God are in your hands. Words that came out of heaven. Words purified in a furnace of silver, purified seven times. You can't get more pure words. Is there any other book in the world that can command the heart of a sinner to tremble like this one? There is no other book. The Apostle Peter wrote and said, this prophecy, this prophetic scripture, this living oracle, this living word of God did not come by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved, as they were impelled, as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. It's like they had their sails up and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write. And into our hands came the words of the living God. This is the most priceless treasure. This is worth far above any silver or gold. Silver and gold are precious in the earth, but this is far above. silver and gold. These are the very words of God. The Apostle Paul, as he handled this word of God, as he preached this word, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and preaching," he said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. He said, that sounds strange, the Apostle Paul in weakness. Yes, no trust in himself, leaning on the Lord, leaning on the Holy Spirit for the gospel, for the penetration of this word. He says, I was with you in fear and in much trembling as I delivered the word of God to Corinth. Now, the Apostle Paul had been preaching for many, many years, almost a couple decades since he'd been born again, carried the gospel. And here he is in fear and trembling, phobos and traumas. Greek words. Say, how can it be? I think there was fear in his heart, lest he not bring the word forth properly. What man would undertake to preach this holy word of God without fear of interpreting it right and presenting it right? I think he was there in trembling, lest somehow he wouldn't carry the gospel and the power and impact it should have, and people's hearts wouldn't be moved and stirred to repentance. Fear and trembling with the word of God. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 4, "Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God." I ask you this morning, do you tremble at the words of God? Do you tremble at the words of God? You take this book, it's so holy, it's so beautiful that you carry it with reverence, you open it with reverence. It's a spirit of thanksgiving on your heart, deep gratitude. As you carry the word of the Lord, you open it, you read it, you receive it. The very words of life, the very words of the living God that have come to our hearts. Philippians 2:12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with phobos and traumas." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We don't work for our salvation, we work out our salvation. We understand we can't work for our salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is the gift of God. It's a free gift. We could never earn the gift of our salvation, of our acceptance with God through Jesus Christ. It is a gift that God gives to the believing sinner, those that repent and call on his name. But we are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Let your eyes look on these words today. Maybe you've never considered them. Maybe they haven't been emphasized in your heart. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So I thought, I want to work out my salvation with fun and frivolity. Many today are trying to do that. Just casual, light. Not too much stress, no demand, no pressure. Don't put any demands on me. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear, no trust in yourself, that somehow these words of God would slip by you and you wouldn't be obedient to the command of the Lord. Trembling, that you would not fulfill the desire, the word of God, what God has for your life. It's time to get some holy concern about our spiritual development. Some holy concern about our spiritual growth and our maturity and our development in the Lord and our ministry and our calling. You can drift along for years and not really gain very much. You can go to school for years and really not have much education because you haven't been paying attention and you haven't pursued and you haven't studied. And it's the same way in the Christian life. That's why the Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't let anything slip by you. Be attentive, be precise in your spiritual development. And then we have Ephesians 6:5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. That's to your employers. With fear and trembling. It is amazing. In singleness of heart as unto Christ. Employees, be obedient to your employers with fear and trembling. In singleness of heart as unto Christ. My, what a call of the gospel. See, I think it should read different. Be obedient unto your masters with entitlement and criticism. Just watching. I don't want them, nobody to take advantage of me. We can serve in the house of God that way too. Not with a real spirit of honor and loyalty to those that are over us in the Lord and seeking to do the will of God. We serve the Lord Christ, all of us, unto the Lord, at your occupation. At your occupation, you work out, you serve your employers with fear and trembling. Fear lest you offend, lest you don't fulfill your duties, lest your work is not excellent and doesn't really meet the approval of your employer. With trembling, lest somehow you get a wrong spirit, get some criticism, get some suspicion in you. It says, work out your employment with fear and trembling. And then we have 2 Corinthians 7:15. Apostle Paul was speaking of Titus and how he came to minister to the Corinthians, and he said these words, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you. While he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Do you receive the ministers of the Lord with fear and trembling? That's how the Corinthians received Titus. Ministers in this place, ministers come through this place. How do we entertain visiting ministers? Just another service? I'm not going to show up Sunday night. Wouldn't matter if the Apostle Paul was preaching. How do we treat the ministers of the Lord? Corinthians, with Titus, with fear and trembling. Wow, such honor, such loyalty, such respect. To hear what they have to say. They may have heard hundreds or thousands of sermons by that time, but they knew that if they come properly under the servants of the Lord, he that receives a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward, and he that receives a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And they knew that if they came to the house of the Lord with a vessel open that wanted much from the Lord, that somewhere in that meeting there would be impartation, there would be life, there would be blessing, the word of the Lord would come, a rhema would come that they never had before in their life. Something they desperately needed from the Lord. Trembling at the word of God. Trembling at the word of God as the servants come. We have a day when people come and go to the house of God as they will. Many places show up here and there. But it's not of the loyalty, it's not of the honor of the Lord. We must tremble at the words of the Lord. Stay under the word of God weekly. Stay under the house of the Lord and serve the Lord. When is the last time you trembled at the words of the Lord? Number three, tremble at the presence of God. Tremble for the ark. Tremble for the ark, the felt presence of God. If we lose the felt presence of God, our life is empty. That intense felt presence, that tangible presence. Again, not the omnipresence, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. but that felt presence. You can tell when the presence of God is alive on your life in a day and when it's not. Exodus 33, 15 to 16. Moses said unto the Lord, if your presence goes not with me, carry us not up hence. Don't lead us beyond here. We want to stay with your presence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We are separated from all people on the face of the earth because we have a living presence of the Holy Spirit, a tangible, felt presence of God on our life. We may be lonely, but we're never alone. We walk with the presence of God. What could be greater? What a treasure! The very presence of God come down from heaven in the person of the Holy Spirit, living and active in our lives. And we want to honor that presence. We tremble for that presence. Tremble lest that presence would leave our life because we're careless or because we fall into sin or some hardness, walk our own way. Very presence of God. In 1 Samuel 4, Eli, the old priest, trembled for the ark. Eli trembled for the ark, the presence of God in Israel. He knew it was a time in which the people had fallen away from the Lord and the ministry had fallen on difficult times. There was much sin in the camp. His own two sons weren't serving the Lord, and yet they were active in the ministry alongside him. And he knew things could only go so long and the judgments of God would fall. And there was a day when the Philistines, the enemy, came up against Israel. And Israel carried the Ark of the Covenant out onto the battlefield. My, we're going to take the Ark. Surely God will be with us. But their hearts were far from the Lord, and the presence of God had departed. The Bible says, the messenger came from the battlefield, and when he came low, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. For his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told that all the city cried out. Then verse 17. First Samuel 4. Eli wanted the ark more than anything else. 1 Samuel 4:17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. It came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God, that presence of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod. No glory. The Kabod is the glory. Kabod is the glory of God. She said, there's no glory, Ichabod. She said, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. The ministry had fallen. The presence of God had been taken into captivity. She said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. I'm going to write Ichabod across the name of my son. No glory. To old Eli, the ark was the most important item in Israel, the presence of God among his people. There was nothing that could touch the value of that ark. Everything else paled in comparison to that presence of God among his people. Does your heart tremble for the ark, for the presence of God in your life, in your home, in the house of the Lord, that we never lose that felt presence of God? Where the presence of God descends down in our midst as we worship, as we pray, as we're under the word, we sense the anointing of the Lord. We sense the power of God touching our lives. That's the felt presence, and we walk with it, and we live in it. And when that felt presence is strong in your life, you feel like you're walking on air. Kings unto God, priests unto God, because we're lifted up by the very presence and power of God. In Ezekiel's day, another time where there was delinquency in the nation and the people had fallen far from the Lord and were not serving the Lord properly, and the Lord gave Ezekiel a vision, and he saw the Holy of Holies in the temple, and he saw the cloud of God's glory, that intense presence of God, lift from off the cherubim, off the Ark of the Covenant, and the glory of God, that cloud moved over to the threshold of the house. God was saying, I'm leaving. I'm leaving my people. I'm grieved. I'm heartbroken at the sin, at the disregard, and to the threshold of the house. And then beyond the threshold of the house, he saw the cloud of God's glory on the mountain to the east, Mount Olives, and the glory of the Lord left the house of God and left the people of God, and they were on their own. And what a time of captivity it was. But the Lord said, there's going to come a day when the people are going to be hungry. They're going to be desperate for my presence. And one day Ezekiel saw in vision, he saw the glory returning. He saw that cloud, that kabod coming, and he saw it come to the eastern hill and then come into the house of the Lord and go back into the midst of his people, because his people had been purged and refined by fire, and there was a hunger again for the presence of God. And Ezekiel said, when I saw the glory of God come into the Holy of Holies and rest again on the cherubim, he said, I fell on my face in the presence of God. He said, there's nothing more important to me than the presence of God in his house. Jeremiah prophesied at the same time as Ezekiel, and Jeremiah said there would be a day coming when the people, Isaiah 50, verse 4, 5, in those days and at that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Jeremiah says, people that are going and weeping, calling out for the presence of God, calling out for the glory of God. And it's on that basis that the glory of the Lord returned into the house of the Lord. There's nothing more important than the felt presence of God in our lives. How empty our lives are without the presence of the Lord. We walk with a cold heart, an indifferent heart. We involve ourselves in sin actions in our life. It affects the glory of God. It affects the presence of God. You know, David sat under the teaching of the Word of God. He sat under the worship of the house of the Lord for 6 months with a heart that was cold and unmoved at the presence of God. And he was dry and empty, and he was barren and broken. He committed sin with Bathsheba, adultery, and he planned the death of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. And he thought he could cover his sin and cover what he had been doing. One of my captains died in battle. I'm going to take his wife, and the child that she's bearing, it's obviously Uriah's. I can cover this up, and I can make my way through. For 6 months, David sat in the house of God under the teaching priests, under the law of the Lord. No presence of God on his life. He had broken relationship with the Lord, barrenness and hardness of heart, conviction, but no repentance, until one day Nathan the prophet came and spoke to him, and David fell before the Lord in repentance. And David came back to the Lord, cleansed his sin. And David said these words in Psalm 51, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. That's the thing that David missed most in those 6-9 months where he'd violated and committed such terrible sin against the Lord. But he missed the presence of God. He says, Lord, I can't live without it. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. You know the account of Catherine Kuhlman, the great healing evangelist of the last century in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and how thousands of people would congregate to her meetings as the healing power of God would flow spontaneously throughout the auditorium. People would be healed of sicknesses and diseases. You think of the demand on that woman, the trust in the Lord that here's another meeting, doesn't matter, I've been in 100 meetings, but here's the next meeting, and I need the power of God. Lord, I need you to show up. I need your working. And it's reported that Catherine Kuhlman, before the meetings, was backstage behind the curtains, and she was pacing back and forth before the meetings, crying out in her spirit, crying out these words, "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Without the presence of God, our lives are empty. How many today, does your heart tremble for the ark? Does your heart tremble for the presence of God? How many can truly say, my heart trembles for the presence of God every day in my life? I want the Lord. I want his presence. I want that anointing. I want his closeness to my life. When was the last time your heart trembled? Let's close out this morning with Psalm 2. Psalm 2 and verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. See, even in our fear and trembling, we have a rejoicing heart at the goodness of the Lord, at the joy of the Lord. But here the Bible says, serve the Lord with fear, lest you offend, lest you don't fulfill the word of the Lord, and rejoice with trembling. Again, no trust in yourself. Lord, that nothing would hinder me, that there would not be anything found in me, that I would not be inattentive, that I would not walk with you properly. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son, embrace him, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's stand together this morning. Hearts that tremble, Lord. Hearts that tremble and change. Hearts that tremble and never remain the same. Lord, this morning we tremble at the gospel message. The wonder of the gospel. The rescue, Lord. The salvation that is ours. We can't even comprehend the glories that await us in the heavens, Lord. The depths from which you've taken us, out from under the power of sin, from chains of darkness, from brokenness and death and disease, Lord. Christless eternity in the lake of fire, Lord. You have lifted us, Lord. We tremble at the gospel message today. What a rescue, Lord. What a rescue of our lives. Father, we tremble at your word today. We tremble at your word. These are words that the Holy Spirit teaches, Lord. No man can teach this word. The Holy Spirit teaches, Lord. We listen to men and women. We open the Bible and we read the words, but it's the words that the Holy Spirit teaches because you are the teacher of this word, Holy Spirit, and we tremble at your words. We do not take them lightly. We take them deep into our heart to reverence them and walk in them with obedience. Lord, we tremble at your presence this morning. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Let us walk under the shadow of the Almighty. Let us walk under that intense presence of the Lord. Our hearts tremble after you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now this morning, if you need a touch from the Lord, the Lord is speaking to you in a specific way for you to consecrate yourself unto the Lord. Maybe you've been under the message this morning with an open heart and the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm dealing with something in your life. You slip out from where you are and come and stand in the presence of the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. I offer my life. I give myself to you. Lord, I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to tremble at your word in a fresh way. I'm going to be in your house. I'm going to be under the ministry of the Lord. I'm going to be under your presence in a fresh way. Tremble, tremble, and be made whole. Fear and tremble with rejoicing. The Lord is calling. Don't be like Felix this morning. Paul, not right now, maybe another day. A day that never came for Felix and Drusilla. So when the Lord's speaking, we respond, we obey, we walk with him. And so this morning the altars are open. Anyone else, if you have other needs as well, please come at this time. People will be here to pray for you. But this morning, let's spend a few minutes as we close out in worship and praise unto our living God. Tremble before him this morning. Receive his life and ministry. In the name of Jesus.